Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's go.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, here we go. Ready to turn the corner on a very busy weekend. And it kind of began last night with Atlanta United. And I know last night was the weekend, but Atlanta United and the Atlanta Braves and whatnot. But we get into Thursday night football and all the high school games and everything that's going on Friday. And then this huge Saturday of college football and the Falcons all ahead. Hey, it's a great time to be a sports fan. And welcome to the number one sports station in town, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the morning show with John and Hugh. Hugh Douglas, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? It's Thursday. That means the weekend is one day closer to being here, and we get to run around and, you know, hang out for the weekend, get ready to go to all the choice football games that you're going to go to, whether that be high school, college, or pro, and just have an all-around great weekend.
Yeah, no, it's going to be, you know, one of those, you know, it's getting to be fall, and, well, actually, it's not getting to be fall, though. Summer ends in 2 days, but you wouldn't know it around here.
It's a little cool in the morning. I tell you what, my body can tell that it's starting to get cool off a little bit because I'm having trouble getting up in the morning now. Since I guess it's getting a little cooler sitting at home, you know, the weather's about to change. What, we're about to go off to daylight savings time. It's about to start getting, what, darker earlier? All of that?
When does that change, by the way? Does anybody know the date that we do that change?
Don't know the exact date, but it's coming up.
I know that we're – I wish it would – November 3rd. It's not till November 3rd? Okay. All right. Never mind. So that's not till then. All right, whatever. But anyway, last night kind of mixed results, Hugh. Atlanta Braves not exactly doing what I kind of hoping that they would do, which is go in the front door. I really kind of wanted them to clinch today. They're playing an afternoon game at SunTrust Park. I thought it'd be kind of fun. There'd be a party at the Battery, and there still will be, but they cannot clinch today because they're kind of, well, I don't know. There's not.
Because the Phillies are trying to stay alive. Right. The Phillies are fighting for their playoff hopes, you know, their playoff dreams and all of that stuff. That's what it is. And on top of, on the flip side, you know, the Braves are a little bit, you know, they're looking ahead a little bit, which is natural. You're trying not to, but you're looking ahead a little bit, knowing that it's so close. And the team that you're playing against is playing for their playoff lives right now.
Right. And I'm not saying the Braves are taking their foot off the gas or anything like that. I think it's more the Philadelphia Phillies are gasping for life here. They're three games out of the wild card. They have a chance, but they're going to need some help too. But their only hope is that they get really hot here. They and the Mets are three games out. I mean, the Phillies and the Mets can still make it. Now, I don't know that they will, but they could. And they have to catch the Cubs and the Brewers, and they're both three back of those two. So we'll see. And so Philadelphia even talking after the game about how they've got to go now. I mean, there's a sense of urgency on Philadelphia. Were I a Phillies fan, I'd be like, where's this sense of urgency been all year? Now you got a sense of urgency? Wait, you didn't have this in like June or July, but now suddenly, okay, at least they have a sense of urgency about them now. For the Braves, that's the problem. It's like almost like you, there's no sense of urgency. I mean, it's like.
No, okay. That's not it, John. It's that they're anxious. They're anxious. They've played well all the way up until this point, if you want to say that they're not playing well. And now, you know, you see a light at the end of the tunnel. And you're a little excited about the light being at the end of the tunnel, but you still have to take care of business. It's a natural progression. It's naturally what people go through when they go through stuff like that. Not saying that they're giving up anything, but with everything that's going on and all the pop and pageantry and being that close to it, to everything, you know, you're getting a little excited. You know, you talk about Acuña last night had a little bit of a brain fart last night at going to second. Things like that happen. I mean, it's just one of those things where you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit. You just got to refocus and get the job done.
Mm-hmm. So the Braves will play the Phillies again today in an afternoon game, and we'll certainly look more forward to that and what lies ahead for the Braves as they again, Sunday's final home game of the regular season because the Giants are coming into town this weekend. Meanwhile, Atlanta United, that's a team that has to play with some urgency because we know that they have struggled here, Hugh. They're in third place in the East. They have not looked like themselves. Of course, we've seen this before. I mean, this has played out this season under Frank DeBoer. This team has gone up, and they've gone down. They've gone up, and they've gone down. They've got two cup trophies sitting over there that they've won, and at the same time, they've had stretches where they look like they weren't even worthy of being a playoff team. Last night, they go on the road. They play a team that's, you know, a new team in FC Cincinnati. They're supposed to win. They finally do break through in the second half. Joseph gets two tremendous goals. Brad Guzan, Hugh, made a save in the first half that I don't know how he made it. You know, Guzan does this. He makes these spectacular saves. I can't believe what Brad Guzan could do at times, and he may have saved the game for him with that save he made. It was unbelievable. And then Joseph gets two goals, and you know that second goal where that second goal was straight out of every textbook that every soccer coach teaches. Trap the ball, turn the ball, make a move, shoot, right? Except that he traps the ball, turns the ball, makes two moves, and shoots and scores in the box in a professional game. I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. But thank God our stars were performing last night because that's what you need down the stretch is Brad Guzan and Joseph Martinez.
Yeah, and last night he scored his 25th and his 26th goal. The first one, though, I thought that was pretty sweet. You know, he had the goalie jumping a little bit on that first one. I mean, and to come out with the energy that they had, you know, you talk about they scored in the second half, but to come out with the energy that they had, they didn't look like a team who was a little bit tired the last couple of weeks. They look like a team that is trying to position themselves to get at least – I think Mike Conte tweeted out last night to get at least one home game, like in the playoff stretch, and they're trying to play for better positioning right now. But you got one right now. Way to win last night.
Yeah, it was – now they're a point behind Philadelphia. Here go Philadelphia and Atlanta tied together. The Eagles and Falcons, the Phillies and Braves, Union and United. You know, these two cities are just kind of tied at the hip in sports right now. So, 1 point behind Philadelphia, but still trying to chase down the top spot. I don't know if they can get to the top spot right now anymore with four games to go.
But they're going
to
give it the old college try. They're going to give it the old college try. Five games left, and they're in a pretty good position as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, they're going to give it the old college try.
And I'm more concerned about how they're playing than where they're playing. Everybody talks about, you know, the home field advantage, and they certainly have one. But I'd rather have them playing well. And not because there was a concern about them playing on the road early in the year. They couldn't win on the road, but they seem to have solved that. They've had three or four road wins here in the last month, so I'm not really overly concerned about them going on the road. It's just about how well they play. And last night they did play. They controlled the tempo of the game. You would expect what they did last night was going to happen. Now they come back home this weekend on Saturday against San Jose, a 3:30 kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and see if they can't get another win in their back pocket. So... Braves now just kind of waiting. Now we're kind of sitting around waiting here. Where is Atlanta United going to fall into the playoffs, and how are they going to be playing going into the playoffs? And who are the Braves going to face, and how are they playing going into the playoffs? You know, that's the only thing right now is I don't want any slippage from both teams, especially not from the Braves. They've been playing too well to kind of coast into the playoffs.
I don't think they are. I just think that it's a little anxious, you know, being in a position at the end right now, just a little anxious. And you're playing against a team that is pulling out all the stops. You know, they're playing for their lives. But I had a chance to look at some of the stuff that Philly fans were saying. And to be honest, some of them are like, you know, just like this whole staying alive, trying to get, you know, make it to the postseason, everything like that. Some people feel like they would just rather them just lose. I mean, because, you know, to get in the postseason and, you know, probably lay a big old stinker and then – look at it like this is a reason why, you know, you could bring everybody back because, you know, you put injuries, you put all this on injuries and everything. The fact that certain things happened during the course of the season that you didn't have your full complement of guys, you know, your bullpen and all this stuff, all the issues that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are looking at this as an opportunity to, if you don't make it, to just move on from some of the cast of characters that you have on the Phillies roster.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a legitimate thing. I mean, they spent a bazillion dollars, Hugh. I mean, they spent so much money, it's not funny. And, yes, they did have injuries. You know, Andrew McCutchen went down, for example. But they spent more money than God to build that team. And these are the results you get. Some of the headlines this morning, of course, Braves will play an afternoon game today, and we'll get more into that in just a couple of minutes. It is an NFL There's only one college football game of note tonight. It's Houston and Tulane, which is just kind of a mid-level game there. And I'm not trying to dismiss anybody. I'm just saying it doesn't have national implications, though Tulane's off to a nice start to the season. But there is an NFL game tonight, Titans and Jaguars. Last time I checked, Jalen Ramsey was still playing for Jacksonville.
Yeah, last time we all checked, he was still playing for Jacksonville. I know it was funny because somebody tweeted me last night talking about this Jalen Ramsey story and talking about how we were basically saying we had the story wrong and he went after the coach or whatever it was. But bottom line is this. He's still a Jacksonville Jaguar. He's going to play tonight, and we expect him to play well.
Right, and I mean, he still wants a trade. Don't get me wrong. His agent's out there saying he wants to be out of Jacksonville. But Jacksonville has said that they want 2 first-round picks. Nobody's giving I shouldn't say that because somebody might. But it's doubtful that anyone wants to really part with 2 first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. He's a great player, but that's a pretty high price tag, you. Would you give up 2 first-round players for somebody? I don't know. I mean,
it depends on who it is, John. I don't think I would give it up for Jalen Ramsey. I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he would be that guy. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure some player that at some point in his career that somebody would have tried to give up 2 draft picks for. Person that immediately came to mind was Deion, maybe a Deion Sanders. But all of that is, you know, because you know what kind of player Deion turned out to be. But I don't know. Not in this day and age, no. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, I just kind of racking my brain here. Who would you give up 2 first-rounders for? I guess Pat Mahomes? I don't know. Would you give up 2 first-rounders for Saquon? I start thinking the best guys at their positions. You know?
The league has changed. I mean, you know, to give up first-round draft picks, probably a guy like Pat Mahomes, if he was available, that would probably be not a far stretch. Yeah, I can see that. Saquon Barkley, probably not. Backs don't last that long in the NFL. I mean, we've kind of seen that. We've seen the issues that Ezekiel Elliott has went through or what they've tried to make him go through. He finally got his bread. Nah, probably not a running back.
By the way, the Titans-Jaguars game is on 90-10, the game tonight at 8. Hey, we're going to have this big bowling thing where we're bowling against the other teams, the other shows. I guess we've got a team, Hugh, and Dukes of Bell have a team. And as long as CCV doesn't have a team. Unless they cheat and get CCV onto one of the teams, because Craig Carlos Valentino, one of our cohorts,
I would probably say that he'd probably bowl with with Dukes and Bell. That's probably be his bowl department.
It is our Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. It is next Wednesday. It starts and strikes. We want you to be there. Hey, if you go to our website, it's a bowling tournament. There's going to be a lot of stars there, a lot of celebrities, all the shows. We're going to have a lot of fun. We want you to come bowl with us and be part of it. It's on our webpage at 99thegame.com under events. It's kind of a low-key event, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you've ever wanted to come out and see the guys and hang out, here's your chance at 929thegame.com under the events tab. Braves trying to just slowly get down to where they're going to be clinching this NL East. What Dale Murphy had to say about the Braves' push to the finish. That's next. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game after CBS Sports Minute.
You know, it's one of them little stretches. You know, we just got to weather it and come out fighting tomorrow. Doesn't get any easier tomorrow either with the guy we're going to face. Started out really good. Tempo was good. Banging a lot of strikes and then, just too many walks. You know, the homer, you know, that's going to happen. Next inning, he just kind of got in trouble with the walks pretty much.
Well, he had 2 walks, but that's Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves, talking about Julio Teheran. Also had 6 strikeouts. You'd have to go a long way to putting this loss on Julio Teheran in my book last night. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. This is really a case of a number of things, not the least of which is the Braves offense, Hugh.
No hitting.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was last night, was no hitting.
And Zach Eflin doing his thing, and the Braves offense kind of, you know, we're so kind of spoiled that this has been such a special season for us. That we're a little bit spoiled, at least I think, we're a little bit spoiled when you start saying things like, you know, what's wrong with the Braves? They've lost 3 in a row. They haven't lost 3 in a row, Hugh, in 2 months.
I think it's more just anxious, just a little anxious, trying to get this done, trying to button this up, trying to figure out who you're going to play, all of that. And you get a little ahead of yourself instead of refocus. I think today that they need to refocus. You know, you got a little bit earlier game, refocus, and just get back to doing what you were doing. There were a couple little ME stuff. And mental error stuff that was going on out there last night that I saw. And that's basically what it is. It's like, you know, you're so excited. I'm pretty sure that, you know, there are some inklings of the potential celebration that you're going to have at SunTrust Park. if you take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, it's just human nature. That's all it is. That's how I chalk it up to that. It's just human nature. You're in a position right now where you've played so well up until this point where, you know, it's coming down to the wire. You're starting to look at different playoff matchups and playoff scenarios, and you're just getting anxious. And you're playing a team that's still fighting for their playoff hopes and their dreams. And they're just you have to button it up again. You just have to rebutton it up and go out there and take care of your business.
And one of the things we're doing on our Twitter today at 929 The Game is asking you, who do you want to play in the National League Division Series? I mean, it's pretty obvious now. Look, we all understand a couple of things. One, the Braves are going to win the East. And two, they are not going to be the number one seed. That's going to be the Dodgers. So that means the Braves will face one of three teams to open the playoffs. They'll face the Cubs, they'll face the Cardinals, or they'll face the Brewers. Now, of course, the Brewers don't have Christian Yelich, but they've been hanging around because a lot of people wrote the Brewers off when Yelich got injured. They said, Milwaukee, there's no chance that they, but now they're hanging around. They may well make the playoffs. So credit to them. The Cubs don't have Javier Baez. He's out, but they're hanging around. Of course, they've got a great lineup. And the Cardinals just happen to have good pitching. And they look like the most likely opponent. And whenever you get into a five-game series, that good pitching, when you got two good pitchers like the Cardinals have it, Dakota Hudson and Adam Wainwright,
that could be a difference maker for us. No question about that. But I know, like, looking at my timeline and looking at, like, some of the things that you said on the air a couple of times, that's kind of the matchup that people want. That's the one that people want to see because it's something about some get-back, which I don't understand. They're talking about getting back at them. But I look at it more so if, you know, in the playoffs, you play, like, it doesn't matter. You're playing everybody. It doesn't matter who you put in front of you. But if you're talking about that would probably be the toughest matchup you see outside of the, the game before the World Series, then that's what you want. You want the tougher matchup.
So the Braves, again, have dropped three in a row for the first time in 2 months. They've lost a series for the first time in 2 months. How about that? Is that unbelievable? That's how spoiled we are. Dale Murphy was on with Duke Zabel yesterday, and they were talking about the team and the push to the playoffs here. And the guys asked Dale, they asked Murph about how impressed he's been with, among other people, Nick Markakis, since Nick was able to return.
That's an interesting point because that was the talk of the town in the playoffs was they should have rested him a little bit more. Now he had the injury, so he's ready to go. And I've been saying for a few weeks, we're going to clinch. Let's just rest anyway, get the guys ready to go mentally and physically. And so, you know, everybody uses the same term to describe Markakis, steady, does his job and true professional. But, I know – and the older you get, these things just become harder to do. And this little stint here that he's done after being out this much and coming back is sometimes even more impressive than just what you do during the regular season.
You went 30 for 30, right? You had a season 30 for 30, right?
It was a million years ago. Yes,
but,
I remember. No,
but,
you're right.
But you did.
Yes.
30 home runs.
83, yeah.
83, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Acuña is approaching 40-40. You know how hard it was to do 30-30. How much more difficult is – you just sound it sounds simple because you get, oh, well, just yeah. 10 more home runs, 10 more stolen bases.
Yeah, right. you run out of time. I mean, that's the other thing is they may rest Acuña, and he may miss that opportunity to go 40-40. He doesn't care about that stuff. If it happens, it happens. But how hard is it? I can't imagine because you're right. I don't remember when I stole my 30th base in 83, but it was towards the end of the season. I mean, I was done. Ronald's got tremendous power and tremendous speed, and he's hitting leadoff. He's gonna be knocking on 30-30 a lot, and then occasionally I think this is not going to be a new thing for him, even the 40-40 with a chance. I think this is going to be something that he's going to have the opportunity, even though only five people have done it or something.
Right.
Ronald's really unique compared to all the guys that have ever done it. This guy, he's batting leadoff. He loves to run. I just kind of fell into that 30 stolen base. I wasn't a base stealer, but I worked my way into it, and then I went down after that. Ronald's going to be looking for stolen bases a lot more. So I just don't think this is going to be an unusual thing for him. But 40-40 is incredibly difficult.
Now, I'm going to look at your numbers, man. Unless Torrey just wouldn't give you the green light. You only got caught four times in 83.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
There's kind of a long story. I won't make it too long. But in 82, when Joe came, he said, Murph, I think you could steal some more. I'm going to give you the green light.
Mm.
I'm like, well, okay. He says, but I'm going to give you the red light if you don't show me you know what you're doing. Like, if we're down 10 and Horner's up and you're stealing second, you know. But it was really it was an interesting life lesson for me when someone trusts you and says, be creative. Because you know what it made me do? In 83, every time I got on base, I said, is now a good time?
Right.
I either shut it down or I went to steal. You know what I'm saying?
It was a mindset?
It's a mindset.
Okay.
Joe said, and I never thought of myself as a base stealer till Joe said, you have the green light. A lot of people think the green light means just go whenever you want
right.
to. No, you go when it's going to be appropriate and help the team, especially a guy like me. There's always more opportunities for a guy that runs like Ronald to steal. You know what I mean? If you're down two, down one like you did last night,
right.
was that the ninth?
Right.
Or the anyway.
Was it the ninth inning? Ninth inning, yes.
We were down one.
That's right.
With Albies up. See, in my day, I wouldn't have stole because – you know, I just wasn't that fast. He can get away with a bad jump. I had to have a great jump.
Right.
He's a base stealer with pop. I mean, it's incredible tools he has. But anyway, that was the story, really. People say, well, how'd this come up? I go, Joe said, you know, be creative. You're on your own. Use your brains, you know. But if you're not using your brain right, you're not going anywhere.
It's a great story.
And also nowadays, Dale Murphy's in studio. I mean, I hate them. A lot of guys like Smoltz will come on the show with us, Dale, and he hates the overuse of analytics. It's like station-to-station baseball. Nobody wants to steal. It's almost like a dying art in this day and age in baseball.
What's really interesting is I think those first two guys in our lineup can buck this trend right now. And I think they could create some havoc in the playoffs because you're right. It's station-to-station, but we got a couple guys right in the front that aren't playing station-to-station. So I think for the next 5 years, I'd love – and I know Snit gives them the green light. I'm sure they have the green light. But right now, since the trend is, you're exactly right, go station to station, wait for the home run. Let's buck that trend a little bit. Mm. And that's why this is an exciting, fun team to watch. They're bucking the trend a little bit.
Dale Murphy with Dukes of Bell as we get ready for the postseason. And somebody just on our Twitter here, you, Roy Biggs, saying, and you're talking about – how the Braves are kind of not slumping, but you know, he used that word, but I understand what he's saying. On our Twitter, when we're voting on who you want to face in the NLDS here, talking about how the Braves are kind of, you know, hitting a little soft spot here. And again, I think this goes to, man, are we spoiled this year because it's been such an incredible ride. I'm not, there's no reason for me to be concerned at this point that they've lost three in a row. I think Philadelphia is just locked in and we've just got to go out and see that.
They're trying to survive, man. They're playing for their playoff lives. If the season ended today, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs.
Right.
But they're struggling. They're trying to stay alive. Trying to justify all that money they spent for all those players.
By the way, great matchup today if you're going to the game. I know they can't clinch, but because Washington doesn't play today and the magic number is 2. Soroka against Nola. Hey, yeah, that's good. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, 92.9 The Game. Going to be at JR Crickets at College Park off Main Street Sunday at 11 a.m. Hang out with the guys for the Bud Light countdown to kick off to preview the Falcons and Colts, that's J.R. Crickets, College Park, Main Street, Sunday starting at 11. Well, we'll do something called the Morning Menu. 3 questions from Abe, the producer. We'll answer them, and then you get a crack at them, too. We'll do that next with John and you on this Thursday on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We did the date night at Barlow's, but it would be kind of funny if you walked into Barlow's and started doing the Morning Menu up there at the bar. You know, hey, I got 3 questions for you.
I'll grab the mic right there, see what the people think. The good fine folks at Barlow's. I'm sure they're good sports fans there. Is that... they may be able to come up with some good answers on the fly. We didn't get the cornucopia of answers I was hoping for in yesterday's favorite word. In
cornucopia.
The
oh, yeah.
There was a couple good ones, though. A
couple good ones. We had matriculation. That was a good one. A
yeah, plethora was one of the words. Matriculate.
Plethora?
Yeah, somebody put plethora.
3 Amigos fan.
Yeah.
Imagine. Okay, first question today. We're going to kind of keep with the obviously such a big game. On Saturday.
Did you just make a reference to a movie that's like 30 years old?
That everyone knows people, that reference.
Not everybody. Come on.
Come on. Everyone knows El Wapo. Come on. We're going to kind of keep it's such a big game on Saturday, and everyone's trying to get amped for it, but all 3 of us, we've mentioned things, could kind of be a blowout. The question for you guys, though, today, Georgia needs to win by how much on Saturday for you to consider it an impressive win?
3 touchdowns.
Full 21 points?
I would say 3. I'm going to be impressed regardless, but I would just say.
Well, you're not impressed if they.
Purposes.
You're not impressed if it's tied going into the fourth quarter. They kick a. Rodrigo kicks a field goal.
A win
late.
Is a win. No, you're right.
The winter all created differently.
Yeah, I probably would not be excited about that.
Yeah, to me, as finishing drives, I think that if they have game control, you know, I don't know how you define game control, but if they have game control, whether it's 13 points or 25 points, if it's game control, that's what I'm looking for here. The line is, what, 13 and a half to 14?
Somewhere near. Yeah, it moves around, but yeah.
Yeah, Chad Millman of the Action Network is going to be on in the 8 o'clock hour with us to talk about that. So it's around two touchdowns. You know, if they cover and they have game control, you know, if they don't win 41-6, you know, that okay, fine. I mean, I don't know what fans are expecting, but game control.
Yeah, and kind of to play off of your answer, John, with game control, because and obviously you never know how the betting line goes and all that stuff,
right.
but specifically because of late scores and unimportant touchdowns late in the game, I'm not going to set a number, but I want to see them up three touchdowns at some point in the fourth quarter.
That's a number. You just said
no. It doesn't have to end at three touchdowns.
It doesn't, but you want to see
because
them at some
you know
point.
If they get a late field goal to make it a 17-point game, late touchdown for Notre Dame to make it a 17-point game.
I guess I got you. I'm with you.
But I want to see them up a significant margin.
If the game is over by mid to late third quarter, then you know regardless of the final score,
I want to see them up at least 17 at some point in this game. And like you said, somewhat sustain that lead. I don't want to see them up, you know, 20-3 first quarter, and then, you know, plays itself. They need to be up 17 points or so some way mid through the first third quarter.
They need to be comfortably kicking their butt, basically. That's what you're saying.
And I think they will, to be honest. I think they will. But it'll be impressive. Interesting to see on Twitter what people feel is going to be impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because a win is a win. Hugh's right, and it keeps you on path for the college football playoff. But I don't think Georgia fans are happy eking out a three-point win here. I think they want to really shove it down their
beat
throats
down.
And show people that they belong
beat
closer
down.
Into that Clemson-Bama discussion than the Ohio State-Oklahoma-LSU group.
Beat down.
So,
you want a beat down of epic proportions.
Okay, your main course here, and I hate to break the bad news. I don't think Atlanta United is going to win the one seed. All right? I just think they fought a little too off.
They're not going to.
And obviously, I think after this recent three-game slide for the Braves, they're not going to win the one seed.
No. That's all but done.
It's gone, yeah. And that's fine. They're both making the playoffs. They're both going to be situated. Looks Atlanta will be a two seed. United still undetermined. Probably a two seed in my opinion, but they may be the three seed. The question for you guys today, though, neither one's going to be a one seed. So which team is more likely to make a title run from that two or three seed? Atlanta United or the Atlanta Braves?
United. United is the defending champions. They still have the preeminent. I know that he may not win the Golden Boot this year, but he's the most dangerous goal scorer in the league, and he showed you that again last night. You know, it's all about I think, you know, player for player, there's still – I think player for player, Hugh, Atlanta United is the best team in MLS all the way through the lineup.
I'm going to go Braves because I want to see the Braves win a World Series. That's cool. I've been to a World Series parade, and it was awesome.
What was that, 08?
Yeah, Phillies. Yeah.
Phillies 08?
Yeah. I've been to one of
they
those.
They had a couple, didn't they?
Or no, they had one when
they
I was
just the
there.
One? The one in L.A.?
One I was there. Yeah. So I would love to see, you know, just for logistics, where would that parade be? Would that be in like
– Oh, down Peachtree, yeah.
Well, technically, it probably couldn't be because it's technically like a lot of – like playing semantics. It's not in the city.
Where would that – you know, that's an interesting question.
That's why
where
I would asked the question.
I hadn't really thought about that.
Would it be up near the stadium?
Would it be at the battery?
Would it be up near the
You
got
to end up at the battery. You have to end up at –
You can't walk from there to here.
That's what I'm saying. So it has to be at the battery.
Maybe you could just do Northside Drive all the way up. You know, you start maybe at, you know, at Lenox and
just
you make
shut down
turn.
The highway. Put them on
but,
the highway.
But
let
it's
them go.
Not. But this is the thing. I mean, since it's not in the city, you can't really like technically. You why would you have it in the city? Because you have to end up. I would think at the ballpark. You know, like at the end, you would have to end up at the ballpark. So
yeah,
it couldn't be in the city. It couldn't be.
Awkwardly end at Georgia State Stadium.
Just awkwardly. Yeah, it'd be kind of awkward. It'd be like, hey, everybody,
remember
we're
us
downtown.
Guys? We used to be here.
We're going to go downtown. Everybody call your Uber, and we're going to Uber out to SunTrust, and we're gonna finish it up there. You got to have it out there. You got to have it out that way.
I think there's some interesting aspects to both of your answers. I think for the Braves, it's easier, I think, to win in baseball on the road than it is in the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
As much as that, yeah, obviously we saw them go on the road, but against quality teams, I think we've seen United struggle on the road. I think that's a cause for concern. With that said, I feel much more comfortable that United is as good, if not better, than every other team. I refuse to say that against the Braves. Yeah. I do not think the Braves are better than the Dodgers. Doesn't mean they can't beat them.
Right. They're not
I don't think
the
they're
Astros.
Better than the Yankees or the Astros. Astros. Doesn't mean they can't beat
right.
them.
I think they're the fourth best team in
baseball. But I think
right
that's
now.
Where I'm at. So I tend to say United. But with the knowledge that going on the road and winning a title is very difficult. Now, I think we benefited last year from these games at home.
I will say this, though. Here's where the Braves, and it's so odd, and I know we got to get the way. But think about this. What's there going to be their kind of whole card? It's going to be they have the best bullpen in the playoffs. That's how good their bullpen's been.
And mm-hmm. if it really comes out to it, Soroka on the road has been as good as any pitcher in baseball. Oh, okay, final question. Dessert round here. We're going to start with you, Hugh.
Dessert.
If a movie was made about your life, what actor is playing you?
What's the dude's name? Terry Tate, offensive linebacker. I can't think of his name. He's a voiceover actor. Not Terry Crews.
Terry Tate. Terry Tate was the offensive linebacker. I don't know the actor who played him, but
I forgot his
that
name.
Was the character was Terry Tate.
And he also does, he's a voiceover actor too. He does Coltrane on Gears of War. I can't think of his name right now, and it was right on top of my head. What's his name? What's his name, Orin the Sigma? Lester Spate. Yep, that's his name, Lester Spate. Lester been kind of working out.
I just know him as Terry Tate.
Terry Tate, the offensive linebacker. Yeah.
Right, who's Lester playing Spate. You?
Me?
Yeah.
I got a couple options. All right. Daniel Radcliffe would have to gain a considerable amount of weight, but I could see Harry Potter, like a fat Harry Potter situation. He's silly. Josh Gad would maybe have to slim down a tiny bit to play me, and then like – Jonah Hill, like not
I think you're onto something.
Not
Jonah
super
Hill.
Fat Jonah Hill, but also not super skinny Jonah Hill, like kind of mildly overweight Jonah Hill.
Yeah,
I think. But I think a fat Harry Potter, fat Daniel Radcliffe. Right. What about you?
Brad Pitt, of course.
No, come on.
I have no idea.
No clue. Because I talked about this with Orin.
All right, so who would you say?
Nick Nolte's playing you, bro. Sorry.
Dude, Nick Nolte's like 90.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, Nick Nolte's playing you, bro.
No, you've got to be younger than me.
No, he was great in some of the films I've seen recently. You're Nick Nolte. I'm sorry.
All right. Jeff Bridges. You know, everybody else is like 90. Well, thanks for making me feel okay, fine, whatever.
Jeff Bridges is too cool to play you.
By the way, Nick Nolte happens to be from Nebraska, so there you go. Top of the hour, morning menu. Those questions will be up on our Twitter at 929 The Game coming up. Falcons getting ready. Austin Hooper talking about the team here. What do we know now as we head towards Sunday showdown in Indianapolis? Game 3 against the Colts. We'll talk a little bit about the Birds as we continue next on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Well, you told me I have a plethora, and I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.